I will give to thee to these last, even as to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, one of the commemorations, one of the feasts for the day, is the feast of Saint Peter Nolasco. Peter Nolasco was born a nobleman in France, and he, from his very youth, grew up extraordinarily pious. He was one that it is talked about that he safeguarded the purity of his baptismal robe from sin as carefully as he possibly could, and especially safeguarding it from any and all mortal sins. And he was one that, in his practice of piety, had an extraordinarily kind, generous heart to him. He recognized, even in his youth, that he was born of good fortune, being a noble, and that there were many that were around that were actually themselves impoverished. They were poor, and they didn't have the necessities in life. And this caused him great pain to see that reality, to see the suffering of their state. And oftentimes he would even weep over their sufferings, to the point that he would regularly be seen begging his parents that he might be able to take some of the money and go out and distribute it amongst the poor and give to them so that they could to alleviate some of their suffering. Well, this continued on, but eventually he himself would find his own source of suffering. That is to say that as a young teenager, he found himself weeping over the graves of both of his parents, and now made orphan, although still as nobility with plenty of people able to look after him, he was left the decision of what to do. Well, at that time, the Albigensian heresy was raging all throughout France, and he didn't want to see that influence fall upon himself and wanted to keep himself away from it as much as possible. And so he took the opportunity to go and leave France behind, travel all the way to Spain, and there to set up himself in the court of Aragon, where he continued all of his own study and learning, which he was very adept at, and even became ultimately the tutor of James, who was to later become King of Aragon. There he was his own personal tutor, and they became good friends throughout it. But while he thought he was leaving behind a scourge upon the land of France, he found a new scourge there in Spain for himself, and that was that it was invaded by infidels, Muslims, the Moors, which are the Muslims from Turkey of today. And he witnessed that they came in, and they didn't just come to Spain, but they came and they plundered and they attacked various cities. And in doing so, they would capture the towns and they would force the Christians into slavery. And those Christians, when they were enslaved, they had a most miserable and difficult of life. They would be, their living conditions were squalid and terrible. Their forced labor was very hard and difficult and painful. They were barely given enough food to survive. And moreover, in addition to all the sufferings of slavery that you can imagine, they also had this spiritual suffering, which was that these Moors would attack them for their faith. And they were readily and constantly pressuring them to apostatize and embrace Islam instead of Christianity. They tried to entice them with freedom and leniency, and they would try to force them with beatings and various aspects of torture to get them to abandon their faith. This was the new plight which Peter worried about. And so he, realizing he had means and that these men themselves, the Moors, they were greedy, he would go off and he would sell his possessions and get money for what he had, and then take that money and go, and he would liberate various slaves in the process of doing so. One time it said that he had managed to liberate 300 in one go of these Christian slaves and bring them back to freedom. But he quickly realized after doing this for a while, as an individual, he could only make so much of a difference there. Moreover, he recognized in himself that his personal possessions was definitely a finite reality, and that soon he would eventually run out of things to sell and money to be able to give for the ransoming of captives. And so he did the only thing he could do. That is, he fell upon his knees and he called out to heaven for guidance as to how to continue to aid these good Christians. And as he prayed, all of a sudden he was completely caught by surprise, because there was before him a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Our Lady appeared to him and told Peter that all that he had done thus far was very pleasing to her and to her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But if he wanted to do more, it would please Our Lady further if he were to set up a religious order which was totally dedicated to this very cause of ransoming captives. And then with that, the vision disappeared and Peter was left alone. He did what was supposed to be done. He recognized in that it is not normal to have a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and so I better submit this to the judgment of the Church. So he took the vision and he went to visit his confessor, who is St. Raymond of Penyafort. And he came to St. Raymond and he told him all that he had seen and heard from the Blessed Virgin Mary to see, put in the priest's judgment, do you think this is from heaven or do you think it a trick of the imagination or of the devil? And with that, St. Raymond didn't hesitate to believe in what he had witnessed, because that same night that Peter had that dream, had that vision, St. Raymond had the very same vision in which Our Lady wanted him to assist in the forming of a religious order for the releasing of the Moors. With that, Raymond knew this is divine providence. We have to get this started. And in order to do so, we should go before the king to see if he can give us some funds and to ensure that we have his permission to set up monasteries on his lands and things like this for that cause. And so they went to James of Aragon, now made king. And they went to him and asked him for this permission. And to both of their surprise, James had the same vision on the same night as well. All three of them given those one singular mission. With that, James ensured that all that they would need would be taken care of for the starting of the order, and they would have any assistance from him as possible. Saint Raymond began immediately working upon the rules of the order that they were to create and all of the things that they were to do as part of that regular way of life. And he also ensured that Peter Nedlosko was taught all the things necessary for the religious life and the priesthood and all of this. And ultimately, at the end of that all, they made Peter Nedlosko the master general of this new order. He was in charge of the entire thing. And he took the habit and set out to do the work of that order and get it established immediately. One of the unique things about this order that they set up is that they took the three vows as normal religious would, that of poverty, chastity, and obedience, but they added a fourth vow to it as well. That fourth vow being that they vowed in their efforts of ransoming captives, if they judged it to be necessary, they would trade themselves to captivity in order to ransom one who was already a slave. And so they set about this work, and Peter was quick to be delighted to see that more people from the area, more young men, had the same desires as his to work to save people from this Islamic capture. and the men started to sign up very quickly, and soon he had to establish several monasteries for them to live in, and they all began this collective work for the ransoming of captives of the Muslims. It is said of St. Peter Nolasco that he himself, by himself, after he founded the order, had freed thousands upon thousands of captive Christian slaves, and that the order had freed countless more than that. And for Peter's part, he continued this work for the rest of his life, leading that order for 30 more years in this work of redeeming captives. Now, for us, why preach about St. Peter Nolasco other than the fact that it's his feast day? Well, it is because I think it ties very nicely into what it is for Sunday as well. Today is Septuagesima Sunday. It is the beginning of the penitential season. It has already come upon us that quickly, yes. And we see for ourselves the spirit of preparation. It is not Lent yet, but we know it is coming, and so we start to get ourselves ready for it. We see it in the liturgy. Gone is the green, and it is replaced by the penitential purple. Gone is the Gloria. Gone is the Alleluia. We've laid that to rest. And as well, there is, and we start to begin to bring our focus towards the aspects of that are to come with Lent: penance, sacrifice, prayer. And we know that with looking ahead, we can see a parallel between us and our saint for the day. Saint Peter saw all around him good Christians held captive by the Moors, these enemies of the true God and the true religion. We ourselves, if we look around us, we see a world held captive again. No, not to the Muslim invaders that are going to enslave you and put you on a ship or something like that. But rather, instead, we see a world enslaved to sin. We see a world around us enslaved to base passions, we see a world that no longer recognizes the true God, but serves these lesser gods of their own. These things which are base and natural and are solely for the hedonistic desires of man. We see nature even flipped upon its head, and man acting in his lowest animal capacity because he is completely weakened in any way to fight against it. And moreover, we see even a recognition in our own selves, if we are honest with our reflection, that while we might not be enslaved, we are not completely at liberty either. We have our own difficulties with temptations. We have our own weakness and at times subservitude to our flesh. We have for ourselves our own distractions, the things that we know are not God, but sometimes peel us away from remembering just who God is and gaining an undue focus of our mind and our hearts. And so we look at these things and realize, how do we conquer this? We're just each one of us, an individual, one person, only able to do so much good. But what can God do in regards to the situation? Well, that is immeasurable, because he is infinite. And so we turn our affects towards the spiritual. We prepare ourselves for this upcoming season of Lent. We have these next few weeks to look ahead and to think to ourselves, what is it that I can offer? We look to today's saint, St. Peter Nolasco, and we realize, what was it that set him apart and made him chosen of the Blessed Virgin Mary to come and visit him. It was a generous spirit. It was a true love of charity as a virtue and a striving to practice it that caused the Blessed Virgin to come and see him. And it's that same generosity of spirit of ours with the Lenten season where we can do the most good. If we look ahead, we think to ourselves, what is it? What offerings can I give our Lord? What sacrifices can I make? What prayers can I offer? What bits of self-denial can I do? These things in and of themselves, they're only small, and I recognize I can't take on too much because I'll fail in my completion of it. But for 40 days, what can I maintain? Not just do I want to offer up something, but what can I afford to give of myself in a true service and love of God and souls? And when I take the time to reflect upon it and I judge it out realistically, then I can give myself that self-penance and prayers that will be a true push, a true effort to be made for that duration of time, a true sacrifice of my own self. Because, but something that I can see succeeding. And in that little offering, our Lord will take and multiply it exponentially for the good that can be done for souls. And for the good that can be done for our own soul. We will become stronger. We will become more close to God. We will find our capacity of true love for him increased. And we will realize that we have grown in sanctity because of our efforts to make it a good and holy Lent. And we may not see in our lifetime, but we will one day see in eternity the true good that we have been able to do in ransoming other captives who otherwise would have remained enslaved to the gods of this world. It is our chance to bring light in that time of penance, and it is our chance to do good in that practice of true charity during that holy season. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.